We're engaging in a new sermon series this month called Challenging Jesus, where we look at texts where Jesus gets challenged and we see him respond with a challenge. And so we turn to the 12th chapter of Matthew's gospel, beginning in the first verse. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry, and they began to pluck heads of grain and eat. When the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath." He said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? How he entered the house of God and they ate the bread of the presence, which it was not lawful for him or his companions to eat, but only for the priests? Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple break the Sabbath and yet are guiltless? I tell you, something greater than the temple is here. But if you had known what this means, 'I desire mercy and not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. The Pharisees are right. They're right. Jesus and his disciples are breaking the rules. They're breaking the law. The law was very clear. You're not supposed to work on the Sabbath. You're supposed to remember the Sabbath. And it's also clear that one of the things that counts as work is harvesting. That's what they're doing. They're plucking the heads off of grain, and they're eating it. Spoiler alert, it's not the only time this is going to happen. Jesus and his disciples, time and again, we'll do some things that aren't to the letter of the law. They're going to talk to people that they're not supposed to speak to, that are ritually unclean, that are Gentiles. They're going to do that. They're going to do some things where Jesus is going to do more than just harvest on the Sabbath. He's going to do the work of healing people on the Sabbath. And then he's also going to do some things that are just, frankly, just heretical. He's going to do things like heal people and then say, "By the way, your sins are forgiven." They're gonna cross some lines. And it's interesting, when the Pharisees call him out on it, his response isn't to kind of get into a quibbling about whether or not it was an actual breaking of the law. He doesn't do that. And also, he doesn't just say, you know, "Yeah, you're right, the law doesn't matter," and take off his robe and reveal a giant A tattooed on his chest standing for anarchy. Doesn't do that. What he does is he responds with some scriptural references. He talks a little bit about a story with David. It's 1 Samuel 21, where David had just fled from Saul. Saul wanted to kill him. Jonathan helped David escape, and he's making his way away from Saul, and he's in the land of Nob. And when he's there, he goes to a little temple, a little setup with a priest named Abimelech. That's what I said. So Abimelech is there, and David and his companions are like, "Hey, we're kind of hungry. Could you hook us up with some bread?" And the priest, Abimelech, says, "No, I only have this holy bread, bread of the presence." And David says, "Actually, that's just what we're looking for. Give it to us." And he says, "Okay," and gives it to him. It's the letter of the law is broken there. But something deeper is going on. There's something deeper at work. And then he also references that passage. It's from Hosea. The Lord desires mercy and not sacrifice. The whole premise of the book of Hosea is based on not obeying the law. The whole thing. There's a passage that's really clear. If a spouse is found to be not faithful to the marriage, that is worthy of the death penalty. You all probably remember that story in John, where a woman is found in that situation and all those people gather around her holding up stones. The law is really clear. That's what you're supposed to do. Well, the whole book of Hosea begins with God saying to Hosea, "Hey, I want you to go marry someone who I know is not going to be faithful to you," which Hosea does. He marries Gomer, last name Pyle, and he and Gomer have three kids together, and then she's not faithful to him. And Hosea, instead of picking up a stone, goes to Gomer and pleads for her to return to him. That is not doing what the law says to do. He does this as an act of kind of showing what God wants to do with Israel, to beckon Israel that's been unfaithful to God. So Jesus responds with these stories about something that is much deeper than just the surface level of the law, but something that's deeper than that. And it's really interesting. The guys that are out there picking the grain and eating it, breaking the law on the Sabbath, those guys, when Jesus recruited them, he did not say to them, "I'd like you to come and follow the law to every letter." He did not recruit them and say, "I'd like you to come and follow the rules." He did not say, "I would like you to come follow the traditions of the Pharisees." What Jesus said was, "Follow me." Jesus said, "Follow me." Something much deeper than just merely the letter of the law is God incarnate right among them. "Follow me," Jesus invites them. Now, that sounds pretty easy. Jesus is a line leader. We get in line, boom, we're done, right? It's not as easy as it sounds. There are so many people that we want to follow. There's so many voices we want to follow. There's so many desires that we want to follow. I think in this day and age, one of the things that we face is the proliferation of what I would call search engine faith. Now, y'all know how to use a search engine. Some of you are doing it right now. And you can pull out a phone, you can whip out your laptop, whatever. You can even speak it into the air, and you'll get responses. And depending on the search engine you use, you'll get, you know, within 0.7 seconds, you'll get 1.3 trillion responses. But think about it for just a minute. Think about what search engine faith does to us. When we are using these search engines, it forms us. It forms us to where we're the center. Ask and you shall receive. Anything we want, we're the center of the search. And we can ask the questions that get us just what we want. We can rig it up so that whatever it is we're wanting to hear, we can ask the questions in such a way that we get the answer. A search engine faith. It's the exact opposite of following Jesus. Because instead of getting what we want in 0.7 seconds and having trillions of options and getting exactly what we want the way we want it, what Jesus asks of us is to follow him. And that doesn't happen in 0.7 seconds. That's the work of a lifetime. And at the center of that, when we follow Jesus, is not what we want. At the center of following Jesus is Jesus. At the center of following Jesus is Jesus. And the time that we spend with him, the more we get to know him, the more he shapes us, we see things differently. He changes who we are as we follow him. I mean, just think about like the social forces when you enter a space like this. I don't know about you, but when I enter a big space like this, my eyes immediately start to look for people I know. And I'm like, "Ooh, there's Hannah." And then if I see Hannah and I make eye contact with her and I keep walking, guess what's gonna happen? She's gonna say, "Hey mom, can you call and make sure Pastor Ben gets moved? Cause he just didn't even talk to me." You know, we all have that pressure, right? Like you see somebody you know, you don't wanna just like turn the other way and keep walking. We have that social pressure. We've been shaped to do that. But if Jesus were to walk into this room, I highly doubt that he's gonna look for the most comfortable person in the room, Martha. I doubt that he's gonna go fist bump Martha. What Jesus is probably gonna do is he's gonna walk in this room, he's gonna look for the folks who seem like they're the least comfortable. Maybe don't know anyone, or maybe even he's gonna look for the people that don't know him. And he's gonna wanna talk to those folks. Are we following convention? Or are we following Jesus? It's lovely having our graduates up here. So y'all are such an inspiration. We were listening recently to a graduate from one of my previous churches giving a speech. It was so great. He ended up talking about his faith and started to name drop people who had helped him, you know, develop his faith. And so I started to listen with a perked ear. Guess who he mentioned? Not me. But we're all like that. We want recognition, do we not? When whatever we're doing, whether it's in the church or outside of the church, we love to be recognized. But you know, what was so awesome about what that kid had to say was not the people that he recognized, like an Oscar speech. What was awesome is that he recognized Jesus. He recognized Jesus. The lives that we live as we pour into other people around us, it's not about getting credit, it's not about getting recognition, it's about Jesus being recognized. Are we following convention or are we following Jesus? If you're looking for some light summer reading this summer, highly recommend you read Les Mis, Victor Hugo. Easy little read, just 1,000 pages. French if you can do it. In all seriousness, it's a fabulous book. And there's some things that make it to the book that get cut off for the musical. And one of those scenes is this incredible scene where Jean Valjean, he's been thrown into prison by the Pharisees for stealing a loaf of bread to feed someone hungry, right? Terrible tragedy, total injustice. He's locked up for 19 years or so, finally is released. But when he's released, he is given this yellow card that he has to present to everyone in order to show that he's a felon. And no one will take him in. He doesn't have anything. Nobody will receive him. He can't eat, can't sleep, nothing. He finally, out of desperation, knocks on the door, and it's the home of a bishop. And the bishop welcomes him in. And Valjean sits at the table, eats with the bishop, and then the bishop allows him to sleep there and stay the night. But in the night, he's tempted. And he sneaks out of bed, sneaks into the dining area, and steals silverware, which in those days was real silver, so of value, and slips out into the night. Well, the local constables catch him, and they drag Jean Valjean back to the bishop, and they say, look, sir, we know that he has come from you. We know he's stolen from you. If you'll just identify him, we will lock him away, and he'll never get out now. You know, the truth is that Valjean had broken the law. Thou shalt not steal. He had broken the law. The bishop, though, has mercy. He looks at him and says, oh, Jean, you took the silverware, but you forgot the candlesticks. And he hands him silver candlesticks. Are we following the law or are we following Jesus? The Pharisees stand before Jesus like dissatisfied customers. They are so upset. This guy has not been doing what they expected him to do. He's not following all the laws as they saw it needed to be filled out. And they're dissatisfied customers. It's an interesting word, isn't it? Customer. I was talking with a few lay folks recently about some business principles in the church and how the church can learn from ways that businesses operate. And we started to laugh about the customer base at the church because our customers can be a little unruly. Except if you really think about it, we have one customer. We have one customer, God. God is the customer of the church. We're the product. We're the product. Our job is not to sit back and put ourselves at the center and judge what God is doing. Our job is to faithfully follow Jesus, to allow him to challenge us to live lives that are different because of him. May we have the courage and the strength and the resolve to follow Jesus indeed. Amen.